Welcome to the Mad Trio Podcast. This week we have the California Pariah, Jonathan Charney, and Ryan Preston. This week we don't have James, and figured Ryan didn't deserve some sort of funny middle name because I couldn't think of any.
I'm an adequate stand-in. Mediocre at best, you know.
That's a funny choice of words, stand-in.
Yeah.
So here's a piece of news. So I'm going to try, and we're going to try, not to be another dour show and talk about the coronavirus or COVID-19. By the way, hopefully you all have your line. That'll protect you. So from Newsweek.com, medical fetish site donates entire stock of scrubs after being contacted by desperate health officials. A medical fetish community in the UK has donated its entire disposable scrubs to hospital after being contacted by desperate health officials. MedFet UK said it has been contacted by the NHS, representatives from across the county who were trying to procure basic protective equipment. The company didn't identify the hospital where the few were sent. Do you imagine that? You're a hospital, and the only thing that you could actually get is from people who are into doctors'
kinks. Who've been stocking it for fetishes. Yeah.
Which
you know what? It's right up there with, I think, Pornhub, if I'm not mistaken, just gave some ridiculous amount of money. I want to say like some millions of dollars that they gave as part of like a relief fund. And they're donating like a shit ton of like the personal protective equipment to, you know, hospitals and nurses and things like that. It's really interesting, you know. It's one of those like, hey, look, we're not asking you to join. We're just asking you to recognize that we're a business like anybody else. So we're just out for respect, goddammit.
But let's be honest. Pornhub donating is hilarious. I mean, for a couple of facts, the fact that they're saying, hey, save your we're saving lives and getting people off at the same time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what other company can say they've done half as much?
And I do think it's kind of, I'll be completely honest, I do think it's kind of odd that people have a doctor fetish. Now, I'm kind of wondering, do people have mortician fetishes?
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah. I don't know if you're aware of rule, I think it's 26 of the internet.
Isn't it 47? If it exists.
There's a porn of it.
That's just,
yeah. And I think gross. Rule 27, or the one immediately following whatever rule that is if it doesn't exist, it will.
Yeah. That's just so, that's gross to me. I don't know how else to say it. It's just gross.
Well, I've got a coworker who, I was trying to explain this rule to him. He's in his like early 50s and he's a little unfamiliar with how depraved the internet is. You know, he's used it for his very specific things over the years and is unaware of what its true capability is. So in very much trying to explain to him and just to see the look on his face, mostly the rule number 26, maybe once a week he'll come in and he'll just say random words like ice cream. And I'll be like, I don't know. Or sometimes I'll automatically know like ice cream. Of course there's ice cream porn.
Hold on.
Have I ever had to look them up?
Time out. So when they say ice cream porn, are we talking about someone who makes a really delicious looking pile of ice cream in a bowl? Are we talking about like, you know, an ice cream with boobs showing off its hoo-ha? I mean, I'm kind of, the idea of ice cream porn is really weird because now I'm getting a mental image of
getting too graphic. It's both.
I'm getting a mental image of like an ice cream bar. What was it? What would you do for a Klondike bar? That's kind of what my mental image is now, and I'm kind of disturbed by that. Thank you.
Yeah. Again, without getting into graphic detail, both. One would might fall under sort of the ASMR category. You know, I like this because it's just sort of satisfying to look at. Although porn, I suppose, falls into that category too.
The weirdest thing is everybody uses porn to describe something that doesn't involve nudity, like abandoned porn or gun porn, or
right.
It's like, hold on. Porn should be used to describe somebody in a state of undress, not an ice cream sandwich.
Yeah, I agree. I get where people are going with it, but it does imply like like you said, gun porn. I'm just thinking people trying to bang guns.
By the way, that's a good double entendre.
Yeah, so, I know. I was trying to call your attention to it.
For Reddit, for example, gun porn is not somebody to have who's having coitus with a firearm. Basically, it's a fancy firearm, and people make a neat looking photo or like do HDR. Basically, it's a photo, a really high resolution photo of a firearm, which it's usually cool.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and if you want porn and guns, it's always a naked person, usually a lady holding a firearm. I've never seen anybody using a firearm as a tool. And to be completely honest, I hope I never do.
I have. Absolutely. And actually, the funny thing is where I saw this wasn't porn. It was technically considered high art.
So the question.
Yeah. The art of the eye of the beholder, right?
Well, my question was, it male or female? Because my first thought was, depending on the gender and the location of where a said firearm was placed, I hope they cleaned it, because that's going to cause rust. But that's just, that's the geek in me going, there's some issues there if something's not done.
One would imagine there was some cleaning involved afterwards.
This is what I get.
Female model, male artist.
This is what I get for having a decent idea of human anatomy is an overly graphic imagination, which doesn't do anybody good.
Hey, it's made for a lot of entertaining evenings for me. Speaking of gun porn, though, I started texting James this, I don't know, maybe about a week ago or so. I don't know if he hit you to the jive, but my girlfriend pointed out to me that the Art Institute of Chicago had recently posted, like, basically their entire collection, like 4K pictures of their entire collection, which includes amazing art. Like, they have Vincent van Gogh's self-portrait, the original self-portrait there, and, you know, gorgeous 4K photographs of all of these. They have one of the craziest arms and armor collections I've ever seen.
Was this a personal collection?
It's the Art Institute of Chicago, so it's an incredibly large museum.
Oh, that's badass.
But you can go onto their website, and they have all of these pictures there. Great, high-quality photos, a lot of old-school armor from the 1200s, you know, good old-school, you know, knights in shining armor days, conquistador armor, you know, from all over the world. The weapons in this thing, some of these things blew my mind, dude. Check this out. One of them, and the first one that she showed me, I think it's what caught her eye. It is a cane / sword / hammer / spike hammer / pistol.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's out of all the weird weapons I saw on that thing, that seemed to be the most practical. Because, you know, I can imagine the scenario, you're just walking along with your cane and, you know, some ruffians come out of the alleys and you can shoot that one and in that puff of smoke, pull your sword and go to town. You know, it would cause enough of a distraction, even though you only got one shot, freak everybody out real quick and, you know, you're already holding your sword.
Interesting.
Now, I saw ones that were, you know, an axe pistol. An axe, dagger, sword, pistol. I mean, crazy weird thing.
See, the stone.
But then I started getting into the multiple barrel weapons.
Oh, like the pepper box type of thing?
Yeah, not even close to that elegant of a design. Some of these things were a tri-barrel pistol. It's so hard to explain this, but imagine just this ball at the end. Instead of a grip coming back, it's just a ball. And it's three pistols. One you're looking down the barrel of. Okay. Imagine just looking down the barrel of an old flintlock pistol. And imagine that there's two barrels perpendicular 90 degrees on either side of that barrel. So when you're finished firing the first one, you turn it 90 degrees and there's the second barrel. And then you turn it another. Actually, it's probably more like 100 degrees, 110 degrees.
I bet more than like.
It's in a triangle shape.
I bet more than likely shooting it shot all barrels at the same time.
No, it didn't. There's three different triggers. None of them with any kind of a comfortable grip. Like, you look at this thing and you're like, how the hell do you get your hand around this to pull those triggers?
So it's each barrel has its own trigger, not, wow.
take three wheel lock pistols and weld them together at the base in a triangle. That's essentially how this thing was designed.
That seems like a very uncomfortable firearm.
It's incredibly impractical. The one that I did saw that amazed me was a tri-barrel flintlock musket that only the barrels and the flintlock portion, the prison pan and the I don't remember the actual mechanism name for it, but the actual flintlock mechanism, that and the barrel is the only thing that rotates. The hammer actually is connected to the trigger assembly and the buttstock. And then you fire, and then you turn the barrel, and then lock it again, and then fire, and repeat.
Interesting. So,
what would you guess that thing weighs if you had to? If you had to guess, a three-barrel flintlock musket, call it 4.5 feet high.
6.5 pounds.
Wow. Are you fucking kidding me?
Wait, was I right?
You guessed that so on the nose.
Oh, shit.
That it's ridiculous. I saw 6.5 pounds, and I thought it was a typo. I'm like, how the hell did you get that in 6.5 pounds?
Whoa, so I was actually dead on? Because
I'm not mistaken, an M1 Grand is 11 pounds. Yeah, no, you were dead on.
Damn, because I was just like pulling that out of my hat. Wow.
Yeah.
That explains, like, whoa.
But yeah, if anybody gets an opportunity or is on the internet later, go to the Art Institute of Chicago's website, look at all of their stuff, but go to the Arms and Armory collection. Pages and pages of stuff like, why the hell did they make this?
That's awesome. So I don't know if you've been, so we're going to talk a little bit about COVID, but instead of talking about how depressing and it is, I'm just going to call it the beer virus just because it makes me laugh. And hopefully if somebody's listening, if I hope you're out there, that makes you laugh. So the coolest thing about the beer virus, if there is something, is we need ventilators. So what this has, what this was doing is all these different companies who don't make ventilators have been making them. Tesla's making them.
Yeah.
Ford is making them, and they're using parts from their cars. I don't know if any of you drive a newer vehicle. Some higher end cars have the ability to have a heated and cooled seats.
Yeah.
So they're using that. There's another one. Was MIT? MIT. This is off of SciTechDaily.com. MIT will post free plans online for an emergency ventilator that can be built for $100. And that's SciTechDaily.com. Take a look. It's from, is there a date? March 28th. So basically, they're talking about how you can manufacture one super easily and fairly cheaply to save lives. I think this is the one of the reasons I think Western civilization in particular is pretty badass is the fact that not only do we have people who are ingenious, but the fact that the human mind can come up with weird ways to make shit work. It's like Scotty from fucking Star Trek.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's one of my favorite things about like NASA. I was watching Apollo 13 the other day. Old, you know, the Tom Hanks flick.
I love that movie.
And oh, me too. And it's the same kind of thing that you see in like The Martian, the Matt Damon movie. It's you have this thing in space, and they have the exact same thing on the ground as a replica, and it's just these guys in a room trying to solve a problem for people that are, you know, a couple hundred thousand miles away. And you have the same materials in front of you and the same tools that they would in space. And it's just like, how do we solve this problem using what we have here in front of us? You know, that sort of ingenuity where it's like, hey, look, give me some scientists and some engineers, and we're going to fucking figure this out one way or another. Some of the most amazing shit in the world has been come up with like that.
I do. My favorite part of that whole movie is what happens when you have, you know, multiple companies making parts for the same basic thing. When you have a square filter in one end and a round filter at the other. I watched that recently, and I was thinking that's kind of America in a key. Nobody's thinking, hey, what happens here? That I think that's funny. I love that movie. I recently listened to the audiobook of The Martian. If anybody out there wants to listen to a really good book, it's really well done. I was surprised, actually.
Is it a novelization of the movie, or was it based on a novel?
It was based on the book.
movie itself was based on the book.
I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong, but I'm almost positive it was actually based on a book.
Okay. There's that one woman's book that I've been meaning to read. It's called Packing for Mars. I can't remember what her name is, but it's supposed to be fantastic. It's just this lady who basically laid out, you know, like, this, if you want to go to Mars, this is what it would take, you know, like legitimately, like logistically speaking.
Oh,
which
so
seems very interesting to me.
So The Martian is a 2001 science fiction novel written by Andy Weir, W-E-I-R.
Oh, nice. Okay. That explains why the movie was so damn good.
Yeah, I really loved it. I want to watch, I saw it in the theaters. I think we did it for RFR. I haven't seen it since, and I've been jonesing forever to watch it again.
I'll tell you what, I bought it like a couple of years back. That movie is in such fucking heavy rotation for me. My girlfriend rolls her eyes every time she walks in and sees me watching it.
Really? You know, it's funny.
Yeah, it is a truly fantastic movie.
Ever since we stopped doing RFR, I've been kind of burned out on movies. I recently watched Who Shot Liberty Vance, and my internet's been so fucking slow, I hadn't been able to watch the rest of it. Like, I'm towards the end of the movie. I caught the rest on YouTube, but I haven't actually been able to finish the whole thing. I've been jonesing for good movies. This is one of the reasons I want to watch again, but I've been watching more anime, which is weird, but it's probably because I get to watch it in 30-second short in bits instead of, because I hate pausing movies, you know?
Right.
I don't know. Do you do that? Because I hate, I've known multiple people to do this. They'll watch 45 minutes, they'll pause it, and then come back a day later and watch it. Like, I like watching movies.
Yeah,
like,
no,
I can't do that.
I do that all the time. I mean, I try to. I like having my times. Like, I'll go out of my way to wake up early on, like, a Saturday morning if there's a movie I've been wanting to watch, you know, that I haven't seen, and I'll sit down with my coffee or something before my girlfriend gets up and just chill out and watch whatever movie it is. Usually something that she doesn't want to watch.
I'm assuming that's
no,
most
I'll,
of
like,
your
I
movies.
I mean, generally every night I'll go in and I'll throw on a movie, usually most likely one that I've seen before. And I'll watch half an hour of it and then plan on watching like another half an hour of it the next night. And, you know, just something to kind of make my eyes start getting heavy.
Yes.
But what I can't do is everybody else, like they fall asleep watching TV. I can't do it. I have to turn it off and then physically try to fall asleep.
Yeah. I can't, I know people who do it, like, you know, they'll watch your phone and fall asleep. For me, I have to put it down or else I'll just keep watching it. And I kind of hate having the TV on when I'm sleeping, 'cause I don't like that extra light. However, I have my wife bought me one of those Amazon Alexa / government spying devices I have next to my bedside table. And it does, sleeping sounds. So every night I go to bed with the sound of thunder, which I like listening to music. I used to listen to, Something Blue, something like that. It was one of the Miles Davis's albums I used to listen to all the time.
Oh,
Some Kind of Blue.
Yeah. Kind of Blue, I think.
That's it. Let's see. Yeah. I like that. I used to listen to ambient sounds. But I just can't watch TV and go to bed. It's just, I used to be able to do it as a kid, but now I'm just not, it's not comfortable.
Let me tell you how fucking amazing it is that you said that you go to sleep to like sleep sounds. So like 3 weeks ago, maybe a month or two ago now, it was raining a while around here in Southern California. So I had like a good week of rain and I, you know, I'm going to work in the morning and I'm telling my coworkers, oh man, I sleep great during the rain. I was fucking great. I love it when it rains because I go to sleep real easy. And it was about the fourth night in a row that I said that, where I'm like, wait a minute, if I go to sleep that easy with rain, they make like those little rain machine sounds and whatnot. So I go on the app and whatnot. And of course I find one and there's a bunch of them. And I fucking download one. I go to sleep to the sounds of like crashing rain and fucking thunder every night. It's the greatest thing in the world.
There was
I felt embarrassed to tell my girlfriend that, like, I would set the alarm or the timer for like 30 minutes just so it would be off by the time she came in. Because I didn't want to be that dork falling asleep to fucking the sounds of a whale.
I mean,
sure enough, that shit was awesome.
The benefit of having one of the Alexa things is my wife can say, Hey, insert name here, turn off, and it'll turn off because, like, if I forget to set a timer. There was this app, and I wish I remember what it was because it was the greatest app. It had a metric ton of audio files that it came with a set bunch on the app, but you could download a bunch and people could record a bunch. There was a sound of an old boat rocking back and forth, and can you hear it creak? It was my favorite one.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Dude, I love stuff like that. I used to go to bed too, and this is like kind of my geek flag flying and partially pathetic. I used to have the sounds of the original Enterprise of the bridge noises. I used to fall asleep to that because it was just a bunch of random machine noises.
Sure. Yeah. Right.
Apparently that had
the one that I didn't like, they had this one. It was not waves crashing, but it was almost like waves like lapping on the beach.
Yeah.
Which the gurgling sound bugged the shit out of me, so I had to turn that one off. But like just like a good old wave crashing against like the rocks or something. I love that sound also.
So one of my favorite ones, the app on my phone, I made one where I combine a tent and a fire, and it just makes me laugh because if you actually think about it, it's the fact you're in a tent and there's a fire in the tent. It wouldn't really be holding water. It wouldn't be keeping the water out. But it's such a relaxing. I wonder if anybody here is actually interested in the fact we're talking about going to bed to sleeping sounds.
Well, it's one of those things I was surprised that I got into. I just thought like okay, I want to keep hearing the rain, so let me get this thing going. And then like after a week, I'm like, dude, I fucking love this thing. I'm so surprised by it.
Yeah, I've always.
But yeah, it is dorky.
I've always liked that. Always been into that. So this is a picture that I found, and it's pretty funny. So I'll have to, it's off of Amazon. Do you know what a Lewis bag is, Ryan?
A Lewis bag? No.
So Lewis bag is used in bartending. What it is, it's basically a big bag. You put ice in there, and it usually there comes with a muddler or a mallet, and you just beat the shit out of the ice and it makes crushed ice.
Oh, okay.
I've seen like home people use it. I don't know how many bars use it. I'm assuming it's for more fancy upscale bars. And the next image is a stainless steel metal ice cube tray, the old school ones. And right below it is
the ones where you can pull out the fucking thing.
Yeah, it's one of the old school metal ice cube trays with the easy release.
I saw one of those in like a TV show one day where they pulled up the lever and then they yanked out the thing and all the cubes separated. I got fucking physically angry. Like, how the hell did that technology fall by the wayside? The fuck, man?
I didn't know they existed until, like, couple of years, I think, after I was married. And I'm like, what the fuck? I've been struggling all this time breaking a couple of them. And so this is what
right.
makes... this
Yeah,
is what,
doing the weird twist move that works, like, half the time.
And then, like, my wife bought me a neoprene one. Like, it makes balls. So, for, like, I'm drinking a...
Oh, yeah.
I use them in my alcohol mixed drinks, and right below it,
I got my buddy one of those.
This is what makes me laugh. Right in the below it is Grow Sun 5-gallon 8-bag herbal ice bubble hash bag.
What the fuck?
Yeah, so this is what made me laugh. It's it's two things that make ice and one thing to make hash. It's like Amazon has. There's a whole subreddit to it, by the way. Amazon has this really weird they're associating things. So apparently I wanted ice, so I want to make I want to drink an old fashioned and make hash at the same time.
Yeah, apparently.
I thought it was hilarious. It just made me laugh. Man, I don't ask you a question. What type of PPE do you have to work in the standard operation of your career?
So there's what's called universal precautions, which is basically, you know, gloves, and that's about it. You know, cover up anything that you are reasonably going to get, soiled.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the standard kind of stuff would be, like a plastic gown that goes over the front. Just figure like an apron, like a butcher's apron, but a really thin plastic and very, very disposable. I'll keep shoe covers because you never know when you're going to need to walk through some shit you don't want to walk through. And if I'm wrecked nice loafers, you know, I'm not trying to get wrecked at. But aside from gloves and whatnot, there's not much in my job I can't do in a full-blown three-piece suit. You know, mostly just based off of technique, though. What I'm doing is a lot different than what, like, a nurse is doing. Nobody, there's not a position that that person's going to be in that I'm around that I didn't put them in. You know, so I don't have to worry about somebody readjusting and getting closer, or hitting me up in the face with their arm, coughing on me, you know, doing all of those things.
I would say, Ryan, I really, I'm glad to hear that, because, you know, if you were having to put a tap in somebody's schvants, I was going to say, hey, you need a different career. That's creepy.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of things that people like think that I do or is involved in my job where I'd be like, no, I wouldn't fucking do this if I was doing that. Like, people ask me all the time if I'm superstitious or if I get scared. I'm like, why the fuck would I do this job if I was scared of it?
So what's
like,
the
Like, yeah, I'm just gonna be terrified all day long.
So what's the strangest question you've been asked that made you question the person who asked you?
If I ever fucked a dead body.
I bet that's the
one guy that asks you that question. You're like, dude, get the fuck away from me, bro.
So the question was the person asking, it was like, hey, dude, have you ever? Or, hey, dude, have you ever?
Like, hey, have you ever? Like, what the fuck, dude? Get the fuck away from me.
Was he a friend of yours?
No, just some guy that I met coming in to make arrangements for his dead loved one. What?
Because I'll be honest, that's a question James and I would totally ask you if we were hanging out together just to bust your balls. But the fact that somebody asked you in the middle of setting stuff up is probably that you just popped me on that. That's
yeah. For the record, James, it was one of the first questions he did ask me.
Well, because that's James.
When I got this job, whatever, almost fucking 13, 14 years ago, asked me, you ever done a cold pat? And I had no idea what the fuck he was talking about. It was a reference to Sons of Anarchy.
By the way, there's something you don't want on your Google search history.
Yeah. there's a lot more than that I don't want on my Google search history. But, yeah, least of which is what's a cold pat, because it was a reference to a TV show. But it's grabbing a dead person's boob is what a cold pat is, if anybody's wondering.
I actually didn't.
Sons of Anarchy. I didn't come up with that. It was a TV show.
I'll add that to cold patting. I'll add that right next to knowing what a dirty Sanchez is. That was another one I didn't need to know. So thanks for that, Ryan.
Oh, it's the rusty trombone that I didn't need, or felching. Those are the two I didn't need to Google.
By the way, if you're listening to this with your child, A, I actually question your parenting, and B, I'm sorry.
Still, yeah, you should have turned it off long before now if your sensibilities are delicate.
It reminds me of when my wife and I went to see Deadpool. And, you know, I was really excited. I think my wife was excited. And all of a sudden, I hear this high pitch, hey, Dad, what's this movie about type of thing? I don't remember exactly what he said. And I'm like, I talk to my wife. It's like, I turn around. It's like, it's a fucking kid. He can't be under 8.
Yeah.
And then I know we talked about this before, and there's a scene, and it's, I don't remember. It could be 2 minutes. It could be 5 minutes, where basically it's Ryan Reynolds and I can't remember the late chick's name, and they're basically having sex for like
Miranda Bakarin.
Yeah, for an entire season. I'm thinking that alone was going to make the little kid asking why Ryan Reynolds was on top of the lady. So I wanted to. Right.
Why the lady was behind Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah. Geez, there's a whole lot more questions.
Yeah. That's a can of worms.
Hey, Dad, is she like Ace Ventura, the bad guy?
Now, let me ask you this. Like you, me and James have always been pretty similar in the amount of movies that we watch and media that we've consumed over our lives. You had to have started watching, you know, the classic of, you know, kid that watched the rated R movies when he was young. What age did that start for you?
Like
what age? Let me ask you this: what age did your parents not give a shit anymore?
See, violence was never really a big thing for my parents. The only thing they were questionable on was the nudity. I remember this vampire movie and this chick was getting it on. And I remember my parents hiding my eyes. But I remember probably
so that was the move, right? They just reach over and cover your eyes when there's a part like, and they were like, mom probably was pretty quick on the draw.
It really,
but that was the move, right?
It really depend on the movie. sometimes they would see it and they go, we need to watch it first. I remember seeing like the movie Red Scorpion.
Did they ever kick you out halfway through? Like they just like, oh, nope, never mind. Get out.
I think my parents at that point would have just stopped the movie. They would have never kicked me out. I was probably watching PG-13 rated R probably somewhere in 86. I was probably a little kid depending. I'd say late 80s to mid 80s is when I was probably watching rated R movies.
Right. Well, I mean, what age?
Hold on.
Were you like,
This is going to sound ridiculous, but I got to get out a calculator. I'm really bad at, I'm fried. It's been a long freaking day. Hold on.
Yeah. Cause I figure I was about maybe 10, 11 years old when my parents, there was a little bit of veiled, like, okay, we know he's watching it, but we're not going to say anything. But then like all of a sudden we're watching movies together. I was probably 10, 11. And yeah, mom would just cover my eyes if there was nudity sometimes they would have, you know, thought a movie was something and then halfway through, like, okay, never mind. Matter of fact, the one I absolutely remember them doing that was From Dusk Till Dawn. Because I'm sure you remember there's one half of that movie that's one thing.
I haven't seen that movie in a long time. I was probably anywhere between 6 and 8. I'd probably say 7. So 1988, probably 7 plus or minus. I was fairly young when I was watching movies like that.
I remember certain points in certain movies where they kicked me out, you know, and I had to go like sneak and watch it later or something.
I don't remember my parents ever kicking me out. My parents would usually, if I remember correctly, knowing them, they'd probably just turn it off and say, and I'd be like, come on, let's watch. It's like, you know, we're done. You need to watch this, or they would never kick me out. That wasn't really their modus operandi.
My parents wanted to finish the movie. They didn't give a fuck.
My dad's always been really big in the movies. One of the things I'm looking forward to taking my son when I feel he can sit still long enough in a theater is taking him to see movies. I don't know, just because the way movies are today, I don't know if he'll be seeing rated R movies the same age I did. Just because I think the violence is a little bit more in your face, depending on the movie, versus even the 80s action movies, depending on which one, weren't really as bad as some are now today, just graphic-wise.
Well, yeah, like, for example, what Die Hard is to John Wick.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, there's some incredible differences there.
It's
relatively kind of the same style of movie, you know what I mean? This guy, and he's killing people, and there's blood, and there's things. And there's curse words and, you know, adult content, as they say.
Yeah.
It's a far different movie than something like John Wick. You know, like you said, it's in your face. But, you know, there's a certain age where a certain rated R movie would be fine. You know, so all I was thinking is I can imagine the type of parent that I'd be fine with them bringing their kid to see Deadpool. You know, but it is a type of parent that has a type of kid. You know, not every kid is going to be receptive to that. Not every parent is going to be equipped to handle that sort of conversation with their kid.
I think I'll be honest. I would say personally, to see that movie, you definitely have to be over 10 years old because there's just too much content that I don't even think. I don't know. Now that I think about it, I think if you skip the sex scene and a few of the other things, it's really not that violent of a movie. It's more of like the scenes with his hands. It's the sex scene. Besides that, it's actually a fairly clean movie now that I think about it. The language is iffy.
Which one are you talking about again? I'm sorry.
Deadpool. Like, for example, I was thinking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, yeah. It is a very lighthearted family kind of a fucking movie. You know what I mean?
But that Tom Green movie.
Out of its way to not be that.
Yeah, that Tom Green movie has more iffy scenes in it than I think Deadpool does.
Oh, my God. That Tom Green movie is something you never tell your mom you saw.
I saw Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade in the theater. So I definitely saw movies that were iffy and not iffy. That, however, that movie's pretty good. Now that I'm thinking about it, like, so you think, because this
there's nothing wrong with that movie.
This is what I'm thinking.
Like,
I'm thinking
movie.
Movies today, like you're saying with John Wick, show more blood and guts versus, even though they were shooting guns and people died, it was almost a throwback to the white hat and black hat cowboy movies. It was a lot of the time it was suggested more than done. Like Die Hard, he fell.
Yeah.
Nowadays, he probably would have had his head blown off and then his corpse would fall. You know, if they're making it today.
Yeah. If anything, I just want my kid to idolize the gun handling skills. You know what I mean? And not think that he's going to walk out dual wielding 45s and fucking, you know, blow everybody off their feet. Yeah, you got to be realistic about these things.
Yeah, I know a great way to solve that. Take the kid paintballing, depending on what age he is. That'll solve it. Or I would love my son to get into what are they? It's not paintball.
Airsoft.
Airsoft looks fun. It doesn't hurt as much as a paintball is from what little I've played. And
yeah, no, they don't hurt bad. They can, but you know, hey, whatever.
It's an older version of Nerf. I think I think it'd be cool.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it'd be cool if my son got into that.
Let me tell you this. There's a great video. Fuck, man. Remind me later, dude. I'll find this and text it to you. There's a this Japanese kid who does airsoft, right? Like competitive airsoft. They have like all these courses. Same thing anybody can think of with paintball. You can do the hyper realistic version of with airsoft. Anybody doesn't know, it's basically replica of real firearms. It holds a lot more fucking BBs than would, you know, 9mm, but still load them in a magazine, and you charge the magazine itself usually with like a propellant. Hmm. So then you can have these extra magazines that you just dump, and then you load a new one, very similar to a real firearm, and the mechanics are the same. Still has the slide, still has the same safety action. Trigger pull's obviously a bit light, but whatever. I'm usually fucking 13-year-old doing this shit. There's this kid anyway who has never fired a real gun in his life and has done competitive airsoft for a while. They brought this kid out to Texas, you know, one of these shooting channels, brought him out to Texas to shoot a gun for the first time, and it's a training school. This kid fucking mopped this course, dude. I mean, his fucking reloading skills alone were something to behold. Like, any shooter on the planet would be like, okay, no, fuck, this kid got some kills.
Well, because
then how quickly he picked up how to manage recoil and change target positions was fucking effortless.
Well, because
it was something amazing to watch this kid.
Well, it's reasonably, as long as you're not getting the Kmart special, they're fairly realistic. I was doing something.
I had a friend who had one of the Berettas. They have some weight to them, man. Like, there's something to it. You don't have the weight when you load the magazine. That's the different part. You know, it doesn't add all that extra butt-heavy weight to it.
I remember I went somewhere with James, and it might have been a Halloween thing. I don't remember. This kid had I think it was a Galil. It was an Israeli firearm, and he kept bragging about, yeah, this is just like the Raider of the Wheel one. This is just like the rear one, and it just real one. And he kept bragging about that, and I had to tell him, like, hey, so what's a shoot? Oh, it's airsoft. Yeah, I don't care if it weighs the same. It's not the same. It was one of those things that you had to hamper the kid down. I know he probably spent $2,000 on it, but it's just like,
right?
You need to lower your expectations of reality. But it was amazing. James's brother, when I had my first house, came to my door having an airsoft, and he was shooting at me, and I took one of his airsoft gun and kept hitting him on the finger. And every time I hit him, he was like, ow, ow. Oh, and like 2.5 years later, I was still finding those red fucking pellets all over my house.
Well, you know what? I mean, here's the thing is a lot of people talk shit about like dry fire, you know, like if you just want to kind of sit there and get some mechanics down on something, you know, the standard conventional wisdom is you go and you fucking put rounds down range, you know?
Well, dry fire is only bad if you have, like a .22, because it's a rim fire. It's not particularly good for it. You can get, I actually have one for one of my firearms, the little caps. You actually load them into your magazine.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Snap caps. Yeah, it allows you, it allows you to chamber the round and dry fire. But generally, they don't recommend, especially in rim fire, to dry fire, because it's not particularly good for the firearm.
But here's what I was going to say is, you could, like feasibly get an airsoft pistol that weighs the same roughly, you know what I mean? And actually get the blowback sort of action. It's not going to be the same sort of recoil that you're managing, but if you're just trying to get the mechanics of something like a reload down or, you know, trigger discipline, you know, things like that, it's a great fucking workaround for not being able to go to a range all the time.
Oh,
the problem is airsoft people, quote unquote, get fucking weird about it.
Yeah. The thing I don't understand with airsoft people, and I'll be completely honest, just being a gun guy, is I don't get dressing up. Like they'll spend thousands of dollars. And by the way, I'm not making fun of you.
It's the tactical fucking Dan guy that you're just like, oh, okay, guy, that's cool. You know,
yeah,
I could see a belt maybe with some extra mag holders.
And I'm not making fun of you. I'm not making fun of you guys. If it's your thing, it's your thing. I want to make sure you guys know that, because there's plenty of stuff you can make fun of me about, but I just don't understand
fucking A.
The camo, the vest, the hats. I don't get it.
Yeah, some of these dudes get real hardcore with it. I mean, like full-blown ghillie suits, dude.
Damn.
You know, and to be fair, they're good, and it is a fun-looking fucking kind of thing. It just really seems like LARPing to me. You know, and I can't get around it. And maybe it's just me. Maybe it's my prejudice. You know, it feels like foam swords, and let's go out and hit each other with foam axes.
Honestly, if I was bent towards that particular predilection, it wouldn't bother me either, because LARPing kind of looks fun, because it's a live-action RPG. I'm not really big into dressing up. But honestly, if I could see, if I was the person into airsoft, I could see being in the LARPing, into cosplay, and because it's...
Well, you know, look, to a certain point, I can get a certain bit of it. Like, okay, you go out airsofting one day, and you got one gun. Like, all right, I just got murked by guys with full auto. Let me go get one of those. Okay, I only got two back pockets I've been working with. All right, let me get a little belt mag here. Okay, my fucking fingers keep getting shot. Let me get some gloves. Like, I can see a natural workup. Let me get some knee pads, because I'm doing a lot of crawling around these stupid bushes. I can get the sort of progression of it and the instinct to go a little accessory crazy.
Yeah, it's like the doctor who buys the Harley. He's like, well, let me get a pair of boots. Okay, let me get chaps. And it's the same thing. So there's this website I found called, it's evike.com. No idea how to pronounce it. So here's an AR-15.
E-Vike, yeah, there was a store in my hometown that they put up one year. It was weird.
So here's an Airsoft, it looks like an M4 AR. It's $973. It's 5.5.
I will fucking go buy a real one for that.
It's 5.5 pounds. There's some actual heft to it. But yeah, I was going to say for nearly $1,000, you can get the real one. And because AR's because AR prices have dropped so low, you can get a pretty decent one. Well, you can't in California anymore, but a couple of years ago you might have. I don't know. Realistically, I'm for anybody getting outdoors and having fun. I mean, at this point, I don't really care what you do, who you are, who you do it with. As long as you're respectful, don't give a shit.
Yeah. Well, one of the things why I'm so pissed off about the fucking whole COVID thing is I can't go to the goddamn Renaissance Fair. I was fucking looking forward to that shit.
Dude, my wife and I
get old-timey drunk.
My wife and I have always wanted to go to that one. And every time we look for one that's in a local area, it's like, oh yeah, go to the Renaissance Fair. It's behind the Safeway. And it's like, oh yeah. And it's just like, oh no, I know where that is. Or you look at the Google Maps and going, why is it that Safeway in that location? And I'm going to have to carry a real sword if I don't want to get mugged in that area.
Yeah, the one they do down here, they've been doing for probably 30, 40 years, man. Yeah, it's legit as fuck.
I've got a bucket list for the stuff I want to go to. Like, I get made fun of. I think James makes fun of me. I always wanted to see the ballet. So I took my wife one year to see the Nutcracker, because it's literally something I have always wanted to see. I want to go a couple more times because I don't get it. I mean, I understand why it's cool.
I'd do the same thing for opera, I think. I think I would give that a shot just to say that I was, like, cultured or whatever.
Oh, dude, yeah, totally. Like, I don't get the method of storytelling on it, because I was watching it. It was on the Nutcracker. I was trying to pick it apart. It's like, I don't get it. I don't understand the story, but it was really fun. I want to see, what is it? The something Mask of the Phantom or fuck, what the hell? My mind's going right now.
Phantom of the Opera.
I want to see Phantom of the Opera. That's one of the ones on my list of things to see. Renaissance Fair, like stuff that just looks fun. I mean, I've been to like one of the world's largest air shows. That's, I want to go back at some point.
Yeah, dude, I've always wanted to go to an air show. I've never done that shit.
Oh, so
if, yeah, if you get a chance to go to a Ren Fair, it's fucking fun. Even if you just walk around with like your kids and you know, buy them a wooden sword and fucking see the shows and shit.
Dude,
it's fucking good time.
I don't,
shit, even if you just like day drinking, it's great.
Fuck, dude, it's just as a smartass, I want to go in a dress.
That'd be awesome. in a corset.
If you ever get a chance, and I don't know why you would ever be here, because it's on the opposite end of the country, check out the Oshkosh Air Show. It is effing amazing. It's one. It was the time
what
I went.
What the fuck
one
is of, that?
It's in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Ever heard of Oshkosh Bagosh? The clothing line?
Yeah.
It's,
of course.
It's in Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
I think we were issued that shit when we were kids in the suburbs.
So the Oshkosh Air Show, it's fucking amazing. You gotta, I love air shows. I love old planes. If you've ever been to DC, check out the Air and Space Museum. It's the only one I've been to. I love fucking planes.
You know, right in my hometown over here, San Gabriel, actually I think it's Rosemead technically, but anyway, there is a museum that I've passed for fucking 30 years, you know, as long as I've lived here. And it is this little museum. It's the most overgrown, rust buckety fucking, you know, museum ever. It's all outdoors, but it's all old school artillery.
That's badass.
Like they have like OG howitzers from, you know, probably like the Korean War and whatnot, and old armored personnel carriers and tanks. And they're just all like, again, kind of sitting out there sort of rusting with the weeds growing up around their treads and whatnot. But I gotta fucking go there one day. I'm sure they got some gems in that place.
I wonder if they're all demilled. That would be a shame, but it's probably a requirement.
Oh, guaranteed they are.
Because if I remember the laws correctly, you can have a standard cannon that's not a breech loader. So a breech loader being, you know, you do something and the back end of the cannon is removed. You can't have a breech loader.
Yeah.
But you can have a standard cannon.
I would assume that a lot of these things have been there long enough to be grandfathered into whatever new things there are. You know, probably just cement poured down the barrel.
Oh, that hurts even more. I'd rather have it demilled because at least a demill, you can fix the demill. Oh,
you know what? There's a
you just broke my heart.
Of, you know the guy that does Demo Ranch, Demolition Ranch.
Yeah.
He has a video recently where he takes a High Point pistol. You know that piece of shit.
Yeah.
I never fired one myself, but I know it's notorious for being the worst gun ever made. Takes a High Point. Pour cement down the barrel, poured a bunch of shit down, a bunch of barrels, and seen if they would clear and cycle. Even the cement concreted barrel cleared and cycled out of a High Point.
That's funny.
Something tells me that I can get a shell into the back of that breech. I can get that barrel clear.
Hopefully you're not next to it when you try fire. You have some sort of remote.
No, I'll put a string.
Yeah. I was to say, because that has potential for you to show up on a Darwin Award.
Yeah, I'll stand behind some like press board or something with a string, and that'll be good.
If you talk James into it, there's extra points.
Shit, James would be fucking wanting to pull the string.
Oh, man.
I'll stand behind this old refrigerator. That'll be good.
Like, another one of the bucket list items that was for me is I got to see the Louvre in Paris. There's a bunch of little stuff I want to see, and it's funny that the older I get, now it's just like shit I want to do with my son. Like, there's a bunch of movies I want to watch with my son. I'm really hoping I can get him into anime because my wife rolls her eyes. and I don't blame her. I mean, realistically, most people aren't insanely anime crazy, animation nuts like I am. I've almost never seen a style of animation that I dislike. As if you've watched us, you'll watch a couple episodes of Real Flix Reviews. You'll find out.
Yeah. But, you know, just the idea that you have this sort of captive audience, for lack of a better term, that you get to, like, curate those things for. Like, I'm going to give them sort of a best of what I've seen throughout my life, you know?
Well, part of it for me is I've always somewhat been a loner to some degree. I mean, I think if you knew James, Ryan, and I, it would not be a big surprise that all three of us are very similar. In some ways, we all need our own alone time. But I love the medium of animation. One of the limitations to me of live action is you can't do certain things. It's when you do live action,
you can't do certain things well, at the very least.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like if you do live action, you have to make it seem real. It's like wrestling. There's a difference between having a tight punch in wrestling, or the dude misses you by the guy by a mile and the guy reacts.
Right.
With cartoons and animation, you can do all sorts of things. And because it's the medium,
you zoom in to see the guy's bones breaking when he gets punched in the face. And yeah, it's whatever you want, whatever you can imagine in your mind you can make.
Yeah. It was because you're not expecting reality in a cartoon. I can name a handful of cartoons I can't wait to show them. The Lensman, Secret of the Lens, was one of the first anime I ever saw. The first anime I ever saw being Vampire Hunter D, back when they used to do Japanimation Sundays on the Sci-Fi Channel. Akira. There's a couple other ones I want to show them, but just because of the nature of the cartoon, I can't until...
Yeah.
Well, because if you watch any 80s animation, for anybody out there who's never seen it, 80s animation is... At least the ones that came over in America were semi-questionable. There's a lot of naked cartoon boobs and a lot of cussing. And I doubt they were in the Japanese version, but for some reason they're in the American version. Cyber City Odo, by the way, is another one of my favorites. I love the cyberpunk kind of visuals. If you take a look at like 80 Police, it has that man-machine 80s cyborg vibe going on, which is freaking cool. I don't know if you've seen any of these animes I'm naming off.
Obviously I've seen Akira and, you know, stuff like that.
Or, let's see, another one. One of my all-time favorites is Record of the Lodoss War. And if you, there's a little bit of a continuation of Legend of Crystallia. Record of the Lotus War is hard-edge fantasy? It's actually based off a D&D game the writer had. So it's slow, but it's just this amazing buildup. And it's amazing. Or Bubblegum Crisis 2040. I like the 80s one. But there's women shopping in lingerie, and it's not something I want to explain to a young kid, to be honest. Even when he's 8 years old, I don't particularly feel like having any explanation of what boobs are, because at eight, you have an idea. Well, actually, now they might know, considering that bastard who has the cell phone at 8 years old is showing all his kids nudie pictures. By the way, fuck you. If you're one of those parents that give their kid an iPhone for some reason at 8 years old, you need to cut that crap out. No kid deserves that.
Yeah, no kid deserves an uncurated internet, an unfiltered internet before a certain age.
God, that scares the...
Not like it's just, they don't deserve that. They deserve to be kids for a little bit longer.
Yeah, that was my conversation with somebody, and I don't remember who it was, but they were saying I was, you know, more or less kind of a fuddy-duddy. It's like, look, they're a kid once. Once the bloom is off the rose, it never goes back. You don't become an adult until you're 25 if you actually look at the maturity rate of humans.
No shit.
And
I tell you what, man, I got this fantasy that like my kids would have like this Goonies style group of friends, you know what I mean, that they just roll off on their bicycles with, you know, and go have like little adventures, you know, and until like high school, and then they, you know, do whatever high school kids do.
Dude, hell, that's still
and then figure out fucking life, you know what I mean? But yeah, I'm sure it's going to be some future fucking version of kids that's going to bug the crap out of me.
Oh, dude, I still, as an adult, wish I had those, you know, band of brothers type of thing. It gets worse being an adult with everybody working and, you know, nobody calling. Even people I'm close to, I never fucking talk to at this point in time. I think James is one of the closest friends I have. And the only reason I see him or talk to him weekly is because of the fucking podcast. And that's literally it. We're so, we're so busy that I don't remember the last time James and I hung out outside of doing the podcast. And Ryan lives in the middle of nowhere.
No shit.
And I say in the middle of nowhere because I live in the middle of nowhere and I feel better about it if I say it.
Yeah, I gotta be feeling pretty good right now, you know, with all this shit.
I'm not
expecting your tiny fucking population 48 pound to be infected.
There's in my county, there's 15 cases. I actually drive an hour to work.
Get the fuck out of here.
No. There's 15 cases, no deaths. Two of the cases, the people actually never went into my county. I do, however, work an hour from my house. And there's been like 6 deaths in that area. So I'm a little worried about getting it because, not to be dour, I don't particularly want to die from this. But if it's just me, I at least can live to some degree knowing that it was just me versus if I murk my wife, I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah, right. Or you're like your parents or anybody that you kind of come in contact with, any of those things.
Or my little boy. I say I'm not a violent person, but the older I get and when my son's involved or my children's involved, I have a hard time controlling it. But like for some reason, if some jackass coughed in my son's face, there's a good chance I'm just going to walk up and hit the dude. Like,
and you know what's funny is I've almost been waiting to start hearing those stories, like let the panic fucking set in with people when this shit gets weird and start hearing those stories of like person attacked for coughing. Here's the thing, though, is instead of hearing those stories about 40 minutes before you called, I'm seeing stories of people being arrested for purposely going into stores and coughing on the produce. Some kid got arrested in some place for putting it on, I think, on Facebook or whatever.
What a fucking douchebag.
Where he licked all the fucking deodorants, like the ones displayed there in the grocery store, just ran his tongue across like 30 fucking deodorants.
Am I the only person that hopes he gets some sort of disease that's not, you know, that like somehow he gets a hepatitis or gonorrhea.
I'm thinking that's attempted murder, and I want this dude 25 to life.
I saw somewhere, and I think it was the U.S., officials were considering charging people with terrorism that did stuff like that. And I'm 100%.
Send
them to Gitmo. Right next.
Seriously, you deserve to be fucking waterboarded if you fucking think that shit's fucking funny.
And this was on the last week, it's a couple of weeks ago, the last podcast we did, Ryan, James and I were talking about this. And one of the things I brought up is I'm hoping that this kind of unites the country. The example I gave is right after 9/11, you know, you had people, you know, of different parties sitting together, banging on drums, you know, smoking weed and singing Kumbaya. And nowadays, for some reason, because of Trump, that, you know, Trump derangement syndrome, that dude has an amazing ability to piss everybody off.
Yeah.
It's fucking sycophantic and psychopathic. And I'm hoping that this brings the world a little bit together.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've seen more of the other side, more of the, and not necessarily, I'm not going to be one of those people that says like, oh, despite Trump, we've all come together and whatnot. I look at him almost as a non-issue, like as a zero sum game. Like it's just, he's going to do stuff and he's going to do other stuff, but it's everybody else is sort of acting as if he's not around, you know,
which I'm cool with, cause,
which is fine. It's,
which should happen, by the way.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Sorry, what were you saying?
But that's the thing is, I've seen everybody kind of come together and sort of, you know, rally a little bit. And as slow as it was, like in my own neighborhood, you know, the people who were just like, man, I don't give a fuck, this shit ain't real. It has slowly come around to all of a sudden that all of like the places that I have to stop throughout the day or whatever, there's tape on the ground at like the gas stations, you know, 6 feet. You know, of people staying away from each other, and they're trying to mitigate it as much as possible. All the companies, like we were talking about earlier, you know, Pornhub and these fetish looking groups saying, no, 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 we got this stuff. We're here to help. You know, I think it is coming together in that same sort of post 9/11 kind of way.
I really hope that after this is over, and realistically, nobody knows what the United States or the world's going to look like. I mean, we could be in the second Great Depression, or we could be after World War II. But I'm hoping, because this world is
this could downgrade the first Great Depression, and we call this now the first Great Depression, and we call that one the bitch ass Great Depression.
It'll be the Great Depression Redux.
Yeah. No, we were wrong. Our scale was wrong when we called that the Great Depression. This is the Great Depression. That was the mediocre depression.
It'll be like Apocalypse Now Redux, where it has 45 minutes of extra footage nobody can get through. I really hope so. I know in my life, I have people who, like, politically are, I jokingly say, the left of Pol Pot. I mean, they're so politically different from me that it's almost amusing, like, how far our politics are. My wife thinks they're wacky, and other people I know, like James, can't stand one of them. And I'm like, I love them because, A, they're different than me. They have different politics. I couldn't be married to them because that would be polygamy. But I love them because the fact that they're generally nice and sweet people, and they have different viewpoints. I may not agree on anything they say, but I love the argument. I love the conversation. And I'm really hoping that this kind of reunites the two sides. I will say, though, if you're listening to this, thank you for listening. By the way, stop listening to ABC, NBC, Fox News. Stop listening to all the alphabet channels, because most of the time they're full of shit. The left-leaning ones are trying to stoke the flames of how bad Trump is still. The few conservative ones are doing the opposite. Stop fucking listening to them. You'll make your life a whole lot better if you realize they're just full of shit.
Pretty much, same as always.
However, I saw the Washington Post praise Trump? It was praise a conservative, one of the conservatives, or something the conservatives were doing, and I just, Republicans, and it just blew my mind. It's like, what? I never thought I'd see the Washington, the WAPO, do praise something Trump did. I was like, oh my God.
Even if it was horseshit, I never understood how people don't get that tactic of, hey man, I'm going to call out every single good thing that you do, because when I call out a bad thing, people are going to believe me. Simple. Hey, this guy is always on the side of this person, so if they're saying shitty things about this person, it must be fucking, he's got no reason to lie. He's calling out all the good things.
One of the reasons...
it's like when Fox News talks shit about Trump, they're like oh man, he must have really fucked up.
I so hate the way news has to be. I mean, maybe it was always the same way with Walter Cronkite. But I hate the fact, if you really want to know the news story, you got to be like my cousin. You got to watch Fox News, CNN, Al Jazeera, BBC News, right. And you got to read six other articles, half of them in another language, to find out what the true thing is. And it's like, I don't have time. I barely have time to hang out with my son, who I love. I don't care about the fucking news.
Right.
Let's see, who should I do? Should hang out with my wife and talk about my day, or read the most depressing fucking thing ever? Let's see, hey, honey, it's fucking crazy. The shit nowadays is nuts, and it's gotten worse since the beer virus is everybody, you're either singing kumbaya or hyperbolic.
You know what, but it's gotten everybody to forget about politics for 10 fucking minutes, which, hey, cool.
I am so... I am so looking forward to, politics not being an issue anymore, if that ever happens. Because it's amazing. When I was a kid.
I know, right?
When I was a kid to a teenager to when I got out of college, I don't remember anybody ever saying, hey, are you Republican, Democrat? Which has come up in conversations in the last five about, before anything, they're asking your political spectrum. Or if for some reason a conversation comes up with politics and, like, I'm not a big Trump fan, but I make fan of everybody. So I'll say, I don't, the tangerine tornado did this, and they get like offended, like you stabbed their mother. It's ridiculous. The amount of praise Trump or Barack Obama got, or Biden.
Some people just want to wave a flag, man.
You know what? If you're going to wave a flag, choose a different fucking flag. I mean, instead of politics, how about LGBT? I know that they need tremendous help. Now, whether you agree with what the fuck they're doing, that community needs help. How about wave that flag? Hell, I just read something that the transgendered has the transgendered community has an incredibly high unemployment rate versus the standard society, or gun rights or animal rights. There's something other than motherfucking politics, please. Because if you want to know the truth, the politicians don't believe the shit you're actually spouting. They may said it, but they don't believe it.
Yeah. Get a hobby.
Fuck anything. Make pictures of cartoon porn. It's got to be more productive than waving the flag of a politician.
That would be a much better contribute to society.
Fuck, dude. It's just nuts. Like how bad it got. Like this stupid, and we're actually way over time, but this thing with trying to impeach Trump was just ridiculous. And it was. And the only reason I say it was ridiculous, did Trump do iffy shit? Of course, all politicians do iffy shit. But let me tell you guys something. If I really hope, and this is my opinion, I want all politicians, all presidents from now on to be watched as much as Trump does. I
want
to know.
I tell you what, I want the police body cam version, like in Congress.
Oh, fuck yeah.
You know, that'd be great. Let's get body cam for politicians.
Here's my idea. I want to know how many squares of toilet paper the politicians, if it comes out of the pocket of the people, I want to know how many squares of toilet paper, how many soaps they use. If there's a little machine selling tampons in the Congress, the Congressional Women's Room, I want to know how many tampons are being sold. I want everything. I want their lives to be so fucking annoying with how much information is generated about their personal lives that they realize they're answerable to somebody.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. And well, that's the whole idea of American politics, you know, but it's become popularity contests and other things and distractions and all of that, which we definitely don't have time to go into.
Yeah. As a person who's never been particularly popular, I don't particularly understand politics that way. Like the whole Trump being so popular, it's like, am I the only person who's conservative who can see the bad side of this guy?
It's the only people that are fucking like voting is the diehard weird ones that play this shit like sports, you know, like the rest of us can't be bothered, you know. And actually, then we got shocked that news turned into entertainment, you know, when we couldn't be bothered to watch the Walter Cronkite of the fucking world of just giving real news, so it turned into, you know, 98% op-eds. Nobody watches the 7 o'clock news. They watch Don Lemon, or Tucker Carlson. They don't know what the fuck real news looks like anymore.
I like some of the stuff Tucker Carlson
does. But we're
to
blame. You know, we're to blame for needing to be fucking entertained all the goddamn time.
I realized the news was fucked when people were watching The Daily Show for real news. And I'm like, I know quite a number of people.
I mean, look, hey, I've got no problem with those. Here's the reason. That if that gives you the kernel to want to look into, hey, I wonder if that's really a thing going on, that thing that he just made a joke about. Oh, is that really a thing that's happening? And look into it a little bit more. If that gives you some sort of a starting off point, cool. You know, a lot of people don't have time to look into every little bit. And so it's, you know, this curated version, but obviously for comedy. But there is that subset of people that's like, you know, everything that he says is true, even the jokes, and they spout it off as if it's not a joke in any different. Anyway,
so
I'm rambling. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, because we got to go. But before we go, I want to say something that I've noticed. Does anybody else seem like the COVID Corona beer virus thing kind of seems like a movie? Because it reminds me a lot of the plot of 12 Monkeys. If anybody sees Bruce Willis die in an airport,
I am Legend.
I kind of like the 12 Monkeys thing, minus the whole post-apocalyptic nightmare thing after the fact.
Right, yeah.
I actually changed my Facebook logo to the picture, actually the 12 Monkeys logo.
Yeah, well, last week I figured is when it was supposed to cut to 3 years later, and then like the whole city's empty.
Nobody's left their house. So
yeah, yeah. Well, no, just like there's nobody left alive. Like everyone's dead. This thing mutated, and there's, you know, like one guy still trying to solve the virus.
Now that's a way to end a podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. We're going to leave you on a dour note. Make sure you check out the Art Institute of Chicago. Ryan was saying for those high res amazing images. All I can recommend y'all is be safe. this totally sucks.
Wash your fucking hands and stay the fuck away from me.
Yeah, but yeah, stay 6 feet away from people. Wash your hands constantly. Cough in your elbow. And if you cough into somebody's face, expect to wake up with a machine beeping right next to you, because that's what's going to happen. You're going to wake up in the hospital next to a COVID patient. So, ladies and gentlemen, for the
And those who cough on produce shall be hanged by the neck until dead.
I'm okay with that. I am totally okay. You know what? Let's just do it old school. To quote the bad guy from the bad guy from Robin Hood in the 90s, use a spoon.
You're right.
So, ladies and gentlemen, for the California Pariah, Jonathan Charney and Ryan Preston, as always, thank you for listening.